I want to preach having a thought tonight, and I really feel like this would be the message for the hour. I try to discern what the Lord would have us to preach. Sometimes that's a little tough. Sometimes it's very easy trying to discern what the Lord wants. But I want to preach on what to do with someone who needs restoration. We run into people that need restoration all the time, whether on the job or whether in church. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's off out in that's off in false doctrine. I'll deal with them later. But tonight, I want to deal with somebody that is either in sin. And as I sat down and I looked at this and I studied this whole message with the thought of somebody that's in sin. But you know, sometimes people need restoration simply because they got hurt in church and they just quit going. And it ain't that they've got in some kind of vile sin or that they've got in some kind of sin that has necessarily separated them from God and brought them to that place of restoration. But for whatever reason, something has happened that has got them out of church and got them away from God. And I want to deal with that tonight out of Galatians chapter 6. Let's stand at our feet tonight and we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Now, it may be some of your family tonight that needs restoration. It may be somebody you work with. It may be somebody in this church or used to come to this church. Or it may be a friend that just needs some restoration. They may be in sin, sure enough. And so we're going to look at that tonight and how to deal with this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, and the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You can be seated tonight. As the Apostle Paul deals with the church at Galatia, in the thought of, as he deals with them, there was Judaizers there that was trying to drag them back under the law. And he deals with all that. And he deals with, as a matter of fact, if you go back and look in the prior chapter, I asked the question. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He deals in chapter 5 with the works of the flesh. But then he deals in that with the fruits of the Spirit in the latter part. And after he deals with the fruits of the Spirit, he comes down in chapter 6 and says, "Brethren." He's talking to saved people. He's talking to saved people. And he says, if a man be overtaken in a fall. Now, let me say tonight that as Christians, our desire should be to stay away from sin and stay away from faults that's going to draw us away from God. And that ought to be mine and your desire tonight, and that is to be faithful to God. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight that if you don't endure hardness as a good soldier, and if you don't remain faithful to the Lord, it is real easy to get out of God's will and go about your own business and draw and that and get away further and further away from God. I don't ever want to be there tonight. Amen. Listen, as Brother Fred Wilson says, sometimes he says, "I've not always been right with God, but I've never been out of church." Amen. And that's a good, say amen right there. That's a good thing to be, friend, is to never be out of church. But let me say tonight, as he deals with this, he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Let me say tonight that quickly, if you continue in your sin, and be sure, now you need to understand something tonight, be sure your sin will find you out. You need to understand it tonight. The book of Numbers tells us over there at one point, he said, "But if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure that your sin will find you out." The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 59, he said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And so tonight, we understand that it is sin that separates us from God and him from us tonight. Now let me say, as we talk about a man being overtaken in a fault, whether it is in a sin or in a problem that he or she has had, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, I guess you might say tonight, but the publicity of the repentance. Stay, you know, there has to be repentance for sin, right? Amen. Always got to be repentance for sin. But the publicity of the repentance basically should lie on the publicity of the sin. Would you agree with that tonight?
Would you agree that if I've done something just between me and God, and it's not necessarily affected my wife, but it's just affected me, and it's not affected this church, then all I have to do is get right with God tonight. Amen. But you know, if I was to go get drunk, and lay out drunk and get arrested for drunkenness, public drunkenness, and it gets put in the paper and everybody finds out about it, then the publicity of my repentance is going to have to be more than just me getting right with the Lord. The publicity of the repentance has to deal with getting right with the church and God's people at that point, you see. So we find that I think that the publicity of the sin determines the publicity of the repentance tonight, if I'm saying that. Can I say that we sometimes, as God's people, we have a tendency to get angry with people when they get out in sin. We look at them and we say, well, you should have known better. Well, yeah, they probably should have known better. I've never seen anybody get in sin that didn't know better. If you growed up in church any time at all, you ought to know better than getting in sin tonight. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll say to ourselves, well, they've made their bed, let them lie in it tonight. And that is a little aggravating tonight, especially when if they have wronged you in that sin. I'm going to deal with that tonight too. A lot of times we look at people and we just don't want to spend the time with them, or we don't care enough and that to try to restore them. And I think that is a shame tonight. And I find that very problem in my life. I find that very problem in my life is that we don't take time. When's the last time you ever prayed for somebody that wasn't in church? When's the last time you know somebody that's not in church? Probably saved, but they're just out of the will of God tonight. They're not faithful to church. They're not faithful in church. When's the last time that you prayed for them to get right? And then when is the last time that we went and talked to them about getting right with God? Boy, it's exciting tonight, ain't it? Amen. Let's deal with this scripture tonight. Can I say quickly that take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, and then I'm going to preach a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is dealing with the sin of fornication in the church. And they have not dealt with that sin. You know, when sin gets in church, you've got to deal with it. You cannot sweep it under a rug. I said years ago, and I don't know if I heard it from somebody or if somebody else heard it from me. I heard somebody else preach on it one time or say it while they were preaching. You know, if you keep sweeping everything under the rug, eventually it creates a big bulge under the rug and you stumble and fall over what's been swept under the rug. And so if we go ahead and keep our house clean, whether it is our personal home, whether it is our temple that we have in serving God, or whether we keep this house clean, I listen to take care of sin that's in it. The Apostle Paul told me, he said, look, you've not dealt with it. You've been puffed up, but you've not dealt with it. And so he talks about, he said in verse 6, he said, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even as Christ our Passover sacrificed for you. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here's how you take care of sin in one aspect, is with sincerity and truth. You live in sincerity and truth. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you need go out of the world. But now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. So he's talking about somebody that is saved, is he not? Is that how you read your Bible tonight? Somebody that is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetousness, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. So let me park right here and say, it is possible for somebody that is saved to get in sin. Yes. A lot of times we want to say, well, you know, they probably weren't saved or they'd have never done. No, you can get in sin, friend, and be saved. It's real easy to do. Just quit serving God and see where it leads you tonight. It can lead you down the wrong path. But notice what he said right here. He said, whether he's a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Now he's talking about those that are unsaved, you see. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. We can't do with anybody. We can't do anything with anybody that's unsaved. Do you realize that? We want to correct them in their sin and fix their sin problem before we ever get them saved. You know, he talks about that. If you go back up here, yeah, all together with fornicators, this world, with covetous extortioners or idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But he's saying, look, you don't keep company with a brother that is in this sin. He said, you don't even eat with him. You don't even fellowship with him. You don't go sit down at his dinner table with him. So what are we supposed to do? Let's look at that tonight. Galatians chapter 6. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Fault is an error. Or a failing. It's sin tonight. So how do we determine if somebody is in a fault? There's only one way to do that, and that's by this book right here. We can have our own opinions of a lot of things, but now if you're going to try to help somebody tonight, then it's going to have to come out of this book right here. Notice what he said, brethren. He said, ye which are spiritual. So he lays out the plan, and that is spiritualness. So what is spiritualness tonight? What is somebody that is spiritual? If you go back to verse 22 of the prior chapter, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Boy, if somebody was going to have to come and try to restore me back, that's the person I want coming. Somebody that's got what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I want that person to come and help me. I want that person that cares for me and loves me and is coming not because to berate me or to say I told you so or to come with some pharisaical attitude to say that I'm better than you but we're going to try to help you tonight. No, they come because they loved me and cared for me. Now let me ask you tonight. How much do you care for your family that's out of the will of God or your coworker, your friend? When's the last time you talked to them about getting right with God? Ain't that a good question tonight? You can't hang it on somebody else. There's been a lot of things hung around my neck over the years that people's wanted me to go do when they needed to do for themselves. I don't mind to go talk to your family. I don't. But you know, sometimes it would just mean a whole lot more to them if you'd go talk to them. They sick the preacher on me. Yeah, that happens. I remember one time as a lady, her boy had a heart attack, and I go over to the hospital to visit with him, and he had never met me before, and I'd never met him before, and I walked in the room, and he looked at me, and he said, you must be Mama's pastor. I said, I am. I mean, he done had me pegged, you know. Listen, tonight we take the Word of God, and listen, it's not that we're judging somebody's life. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I guess there is some judgment in this fact. But it's not like that we take the Word of God. Now, you shouldn't. Take the Word of God and try to find a fault in somebody's life. I'm afraid there's a lot of pharisaical and legalistic Christians that way. They're always trying to find a fault in somebody's life. Look what he said in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. He said, judge not that you be not judged. And that's where most people stop at. See, their preacher, we ain't supposed to judge. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now that is the first thing about the spiritual man, is he is going to deal with what's in his life first. He said right here, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. So the first thing we got to do is deal with us. We can't help anybody until we deal with us. Until we deal with the sin or the spiritualness or the lack of it that is or is not in our life, we've got to deal with us first. Now when we get us taken care of, we can go help somebody else. Because if you look right on down through here, he says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So we find, I remember being taught this in Sunday school when I was a kid, not much older than Titus. I remember this was a sight to think, you know, when your Sunday school teacher talks about the beam and the mote, and the beam being a telephone pole, and the mote being a splinter that you pick out of your finger, you know. And probably a 6-7-year-old boy, you think about somebody going around with a telephone pole in their eye. Try to imagine that for just a little while, swinging that thing around. But you know, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of times we want to deal with everybody else's sin except our sin. So he says the first thing you have to do before you can help somebody is you've got to deal with you. You know, that's one of the most scariest things to do is deal with you. I mean, it really is tonight. I hate dealing with me, Brother Marvin. I hate dealing with me. I don't like to look into my life. I do not like to see what's going on there. Not that there's sin in there. I hope there's not sin in there. Brother Ralph said the other day, you can sin all. He said, I sinned all I wanted to yesterday. You know how much that was? None. You know, you don't have to sin. People say, well, now we're in the flesh, we got to sin. No, they're making excuses. Two sins, what they're doing. We don't have to sin. You need to take a man right there. So we take the Word of God, and when we see that somebody is caught in a fault, when we see somebody that is in sin or that for some reason they have got away from God, he said if they're overtaken, that thing has took them and got them. So it is the word that we use to judge what is going on in their life. And it is the word of God that we use to try to convince them of what is wrong in their life. And it is the word of God that can restore them. You realize that tonight. It's all going to be by this book right here. I remember a fellow was in the hospital and he needed to get saved. I know this is getting a little off track, but go to talk to him about salvation. They'd only let a few of us go in, and his grandmother goes in with me. And buddy, she was loud and brash, and I mean just a matter of fact. She says, you just about hollered at him, says, you need to get saved. Man, that about took me back. I about didn't know how to deal with it. As a matter of fact, I didn't know how to deal with that. I thought, man, this is ruined now, man. You know, sometimes you got to wake people up. I understand that. And sometimes you got to be stern, and sometimes you just got to be a matter of fact. But we're not talking about making a stand right now. We're talking about trying to restore somebody and that back into the body of Christ. Not that they're lost and not that they're out of the body of Christ, but we're trying to get them back into restoration and in fellowship. Let me ask you tonight, some of y'all have got big families and some of you don't. But ain't it so much better when everybody is getting along and everybody is in the family, is loving each other, and there may be somebody that's out, that always still weighs on your mind, don't it? Because you're missing a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle. Somebody ain't in the place where they belong. You know, it's no different in the body of Christ. When somebody, when somebody ain't here that needs to be here because they're not right with the Lord, that bothers me. And I think it should bother you too. If we go to them, now I'm talking about being overtaken in a fault right now. And there's plenty of faults that people can be overtaken in. I'm not dealing with sin tonight necessarily. I'm just saying if there is a sin in their life or whatever the fault was, like I said at the beginning of this message, maybe they got hurt in church. You say, well, they ought to have been tougher than that. You put all that you got into church and all that you got into people and love on people
Amen. Hey, listen, there's people in here tonight that love you, and they would sell out for your family tonight. They'd help you ever how they could. You ever had anybody do you wrong in church? It's almost like taking a knife and stabbing you with it. I understand why folk get hurt in church. I'm not saying I always agree with it. I'm just saying I understand how it happens tonight. And so whatever the fault is, whatever the reason is, if somebody has gone away from God, they've been overtaken in that fault, we compare it and add to the Word of God and say, here's what the Bible says about that. And here's what you need to do. So when we go to them, number two, in the spirit of meeting, the spiritualness of the restorer, as we go in that spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. When the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, goes and that to restore one, we must go and that realizing that they need help. Would you agree to that tonight? Because if they were in church, they'd be there. We go realizing they need help, and we need to go with the idea of being a helper. We need to go with the idea of one that can go restore them. We need to go in that with wisdom. And that said, Lord, I need some wisdom. And you know, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally, and that breedeth not. Need some discernment. I remember one time, me and Brother Jeff, we went on visitation after I first come down here. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed back in when I, Brother Jeff. I'll never forget when I first come down here, I said, Brother, I remember he had that old green truck, and we pulled up in front of the driveway here, and I remember getting out of the truck. I said, man, about 6 months, we'll be running about 100. That's what I felt like. About 6 months, we'll be, man, the Lord, too, everybody loves me. They are all just flocking here. And I remember what Brother Jeff said. He said, well, let's at least give it a year, you know. He had a little wisdom about him. I remember being on visitation. I don't know if he remembers this or not, but we went over here on the other side of the highway, on Highway 30. There's a subdivision over there, and we go visit that. And I don't remember where we parked that, brother, but I remember we parked somewhere, and we walked that subdivision. And we knocked on, and that's the one where Mama got mad at us, you know. You remember that? When that older lady, boy, she got plumb mad at us visiting for church. She did. I thought when she came to the door, I thought, man, this will be a good visit. Here's an older lady. I mean, it's always good when older people come to the door. They love Jesus. Boy, she didn't. I was wanting to get out of there, man. I'll just be honest with you. Used to, I wouldn't admit to that stuff. But man, I was wanting out of there, you know. But I remember we walked up one driveway, and there was a man and a woman outside. I'm talking about wisdom right now, okay? There's a man and woman outside, and he drove an 18-wheeler for a living. And they were outside. I don't know what they were doing outside before. Well, Brother Jeff picked up on it. I didn't pick up on it. When we got there, we walked up. They were outside standing around his rig, and they were very kind to us. Do you remember that, brother? They were very kind to us. Now, I mean, and what I remember is he's smoking one of them little cigars about that big round, about that long. That's what I remember about that whole thing. And it shows you where my flesh is, don't it? Amen. Young life right there. It'd be all right. But I remember when we walked around, they were very kind to us and took our flyer to come to church, and we talked to them about the Lord, and we move on about our way. And as we're walking back down that driveway, Brother Jeff leans over there to me and said, did you realize they'd been fighting before we got there? Now, I didn't realize that. I didn't pick up on that. See, I didn't have enough discernment about me back then. Hopefully I got enough discernment about me now. I hadn't read that situation. You know, when you go to restore somebody, you kind of need to read the situation about what's going on. Say, Lord, you need to help me and give me the words that we need right here. Because we go in sometime with a preconceived notion of what has happened to them or how they've got to where they're at. And listen, it may not be exactly what you think sometimes. Say, Lord, I need some wisdom to go down here. I want to love on them. I want to go show them joy and peace and long-suffering. And I want to show them all these things that a spiritual man or a spiritual woman is supposed to do. A spiritual man will understand why he's going. He'll understand that, and when I say spiritual man, ladies, y'all put yourself in there, is going to be to restore the relationship back to God, but also restore the relationship back to God's people.
You know, if you go back and you read that church covenant, and I understand it's not scripture, I know that. But you know, if you go back and you read that, it says, always be ready for restoration. Always be ready for that. I'm afraid that I've been guilty over the years of writing people off. They've made their bed, they don't want to get right, but yet I've not went and seen them. I've not went and knocked on their door. I've not picked up the telephone. And I'm afraid that we have been guilty of, as God's people, of not trying to restore people. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. If we're spiritual tonight, we would see them and love them and want to do something with them tonight to try to win them back to the Lord. He said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. That word meekness means softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocation. In other words, while we're being injured, while somebody is talking about us, while we're being provoked into fight, we just forbear. Strength under control. Lowliness. Humbleness. Not being timid, not being shy, but just having a softness of temper about us. When we go in that spirit of meekness, our speech needs to be right. Most of the time, it is not my speech that gets me in trouble, but it's how I say it. My wife says, you're just a buyer sometimes. Now, sometimes I say things wrong, but sometimes I say the right things with the wrong attitude. You ever done that? Have you ever said, how many of us have ever been guilty in our marriage of doing that? Not you all tonight, surely. I guess I'm the only one, Brother Jeff, that is that way. Said the right thing the wrong way. Have a harshness in our tone. You know, I knew when my dad was mad. You know why? I never heard that man raise his voice the whole time that I grew up in that house. But I knew by the shift of the tone in his voice, oh, something's got to change here. He was always famous to want to snap his fingers. And then he'd point at you. Well, that's good enough. But when his tone would shift, I knew that something was going. You know that people can pick up on that in the tone of our voice, and they can see us coming and know whether we're there to really help them and try to win them back. I think our speech needs to be right. Our motivation needs to be right. We go in meekness. What did he say right here? He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know that word restore means to bring back to the original state. When you restore something, bring it back. Our motivation should be right. We just want to go get them back in. If I ask you tonight to think about somebody who is out, could you think about somebody? Now, if you know they're out, what are you going to do about that? You say, well, they're not members of this church. I ain't asking you to go get them to come to this church. I'm asking you, would you go try to restore them back to the relationship with the Lord tonight? Some of y'all work with boys like that. There's one boy that works with Jacob. You know, I'm in and out of that facility from time to time. He's a big old boy, and as a matter of fact, me and Buddy got to go lead his daddy to the Lord before his daddy passed away. And I've been after him off and on just to try to get him back in church. Just try to get him back in church. I don't always do a good job of it, but there's one thing I want that boy to know. I want him to know that I love him, and I want to see him right with the Lord. You know, that's a good thing to tell people. I love you, the Lord loves you, and He wants you right with Him. Don't you want the blessings of God on your life? I mean, that's what I tell them, you know. God bless you if you just get right with Him. But the spirit that we go in one of meekness, Why did he say that? He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So let me ask you tonight, if me and you are in that shape, first of all, how would we want somebody to deal with us? Do you want somebody to care for you? Would you want somebody to come and tell you, hey, I love you, the Lord loves you, He wants you to get right with Him, here's what the Bible says, and you can't. You know what some people need? I got studying on this late this afternoon, probably about 4 o'clock, I was looking over this. You know what some people need? Some people just need you to come by, or need somebody to come by and say, look, you can get right with the Lord. You can get right with God. Some people, they have got away from God, and they believe God's mad at them, and He probably is mad at them, but they can get right with Him. And they may feel that you're mad at them, and you may be, but you're going to have to deal with that. But how would you want to be treated if you were out? What if you got hurt in church? What would you want somebody to do for you? You know, there's nothing like coming to church, is there? I love coming to church. I wouldn't want to do anything to ruin coming to church. There's nothing like serving the Lord. You know, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, Brother Caldwell's son. So he says, we go in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so it's not only in the fact of how would we want to be treated and how would we want to be restored, but we need to understand that we're just as capable of falling and being overtaken in that fault as our brother or our sister was. Not me, preacher. You're already there. What did he say in 1 Corinthians? Wherefore let him think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I'll never forget one of the lessons that I learned talking to Brother Ted Pegram. Brother Ted said to me, boy, right after I first started pastoring, we were talking about somebody falling, a preacher falling. And he said, son, he says, you know what scares me about that whole situation? I said, what's that, Brother Ted? And he said, I'm no better than he is. And he says, I know that I'm just as capable as falling as much as that man. That ought to scare you to death. If we're not concerned about the restoration of somebody that is saved, then there's something wrong with us. Now, sometimes we have to work on us before we can go work on somebody else. And sometimes we have to learn to forgive them, amen, before we can go get them and restore them. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 18. I'm fixing to close. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Pretty well unlimited, ain't it? Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, now remember there's always a day of reckoning, I preached on that 3 or 4 months ago. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Well, for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So he was forgiven, wasn't he? Now, is that not what happened to us as Christians? When you got saved, you got forgiven. I mean, the Lord Jesus forgave us of all sin. Any and all sin, the Lord forgave us of it. But look in verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. You know, if you go back and you look at what the other servant that got forgiven owed, it was just an insurmountable amount that he would never pay. And this man owed 100 pence, which was 100 days of labor. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. Now he's been forgiven. And the Bible said that he goes and he takes that fellow servant, who is no better than him, and took him by the throat and said, pay me all that you owe me. And what did he say? Have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. Is that not what the first servant said to his master? But the difference is he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had, what is it? Compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. Ephesians 4, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If somebody does not want to be restored and they do not want to receive your forgiveness, that's one thing. You can't make somebody get right with God. Do you know that? You can't do it. I can't do it. We can go tell them. And if they've wronged you, you can go to them. They may not think that they've wronged you, but you can go to them and tell them, I forgave you all that mess. I'd like to see you get right with the Lord. And if you've done anything wrong, hello, you might have to go to them and say, well, I wish you'd forgive me of that, of what I said or what I done or the way I acted or all the above. People do mess up. Sometimes people mess up big. And sometimes what they need to hear to get right is that you've come to them to help them and say, here's what the Bible says you can do to get right. You know what? If folk would just tell the Lord that I'm sorry, you know, He will forgive them of their sin and He will restore them back. He will. He'll restore them back right to where they were. Did the prodigal not get to go home? Now, it took him a little while to get there. And he was rough and ragged and he was destitute and broke and busted. I mean, he was everything bad when he got home. But you know, that father ran out there, met him in the road, fell down on top of him and kissed him. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's bow our heads tonight.